Did Bob McCown just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Look up. Look way up. He sits alone atop the standings. Bob McCown and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
La Police.
SOS to the world?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the Leafs are doing right now?
Hey, they're on a one-game win streak. Back off.
I blame you for everything.
They pounded
you,
Florida 3-2 last night.
You are symbolic of the media. Everything.
Oh, you're getting into that now. See, I think writers take this stuff a lot more seriously than broadcasters do. Because you take your business generally seriously. I mean, I know I don't take this seriously. This is just...
That's obvious by the fact that you have me in every now and then.
Exactly my point. This is just, you know, chuckles and giggles. That's all this is. This is 3 hours of something. I don't know what even it is. But I don't take it all that seriously. You, on the other hand, are a serious journalist.
That's right. I do think that Phil was referring to you yesterday.
Phil doesn't even know who I am.
Everybody knows who you are.
He doesn't know who I am. I don't care about Phil.
Phil
can say whatever he wants. I got no issue with what Phil said.
No. I was glad to see he had some emotion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the genesis of it was. I wish he'd explained it more. I'm not offended I'm not talking about Phil Kessel. I'm talking about most athletes, it has been my experience, are just a bunch of protoplasm walking around the planet. That's all they are. They're not real bright, you know? So, I mean, none of them go into nuclear physics after their careers are over. What are you going to do
when
you're
done? A few amoeba woven together?
Yeah. It's pretty much all it is. You know, it's a DNA show. That's all it is. You got the DNA. Okay, you can do this. Go do that. We'll pay you a lot of money to entertain us. You know, they used to do that with lions and Christians back in the Roman days. Entertain us.
Which ones are we?
Well, no, you would be up there with Caligula and whoever else.
Oh, thank you.
So I don't take a whole lot of stock in what they have to say. And I've been doing this 40 years. How long have you been doing what you're doing?
A little less than that, but...
Not much.
No, closing in on 3 decades.
So, I mean, is this the first time you've heard some athlete go off on the media?
No.
It's a defense mechanism. It's what they do when they got nothing else to say. You want to blame somebody? Blame the media. It's this nonsense about... Here's the other thing, too. You see, you got me started. This other thing about...
It's my job.
Playing in Toronto for the Toronto Maple Leafs is so difficult.
Yep.
Only a very special person could do it. Why? Because people pay attention. Really? Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you do it for? Isn't that why they're paying you $8 million a year? So people will pay attention to what you do? When you go on stage as an actor, do you prefer to have the audience half full?
Well, chances are that if people aren't giving you attention, your industry isn't going to have the revenue to be paying you $8 million a year.
Well, I think that's the point.
And, you know, I mean... Bob, a couple weeks ago when I co-hosted, and by the way, I'll do this for you. I'm Mike Zeisberger of the Toronto Sun. He's Bob McCown. You probably know that. And this is Primetime. But we talked to Glenn Healy about this.
Well, did I not introduce you off the top of the show?
I wouldn't have either.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sometimes I just forget. I just assume everybody knows who's here. That's Z. We call him Z.
But a couple weeks ago when I co-hosted, we talked about this with Glenn Healy. And the fact that when you're a baseball player playing for the New York Yankees or a football player playing for the Dallas Cowboys, you have more scrutiny and more cameras and more notepads in your face than you do in this town. Healy told us a story about he had a buddy with the Rangers when he was with the Rangers that would hang out with a prominent Yankee. And this his teammate would say, "Hey, Glenn, have you seen? I'm in the tabs all the time. At least my watch is." And he goes, "Your watch?" And yeah, because the paparazzi would take photos all the time of this Yankee guy, but cut the Ranger guy out so you'd only see his watch. And considering some of them were adult entertainment clubs, it was better that way. So, you know, I mean, yes, you are under the microscope, but, right. You know, I go back to what Doug Gilmore said. He said, you know what? If you work hard in this town and have a little bit of success, you'll never have to buy another meal in this town.
Ever.
Doug Gilmore, you would think that he played, I don't know,
15 years. 15 years with the Maple Leafs, yeah.
Wendell Clark, you would think, should be in the Hall of Fame for the adulation he gets here. He had two seasons of more than 49 points with the Leafs. So you start looking at that and you go, why did people like them? Because they busted their asses when they were out on the ice. And you know,
they were good with the fans, and they understood...
The marketplace.
Correct.
And we can go back to that salute gate thing and whether it's irrelevant. The reason that it wasn't irrelevant, Bob, is because you had to know, no matter what you think of it or what I think of it, that it's going to blow up in this marketplace. So avoid doing something like that. Avoid getting undue attention onto yourselves after you've just lost two games by, I think, the cumulative score of 15-4. But I still blame you for everything.
Well, I'm okay with that. I'm going on vacation, too. Could I get a tea, please? Thank you very much. I have this problem. I get a tea at 3:30, and then I come in here, and I don't get a fresh one.
Now, is this tea?
And I need my tea.
Tea, this is kind of like, you know, I link that with royalty. Does that, you know, the royal tea, do you have, is this because Gary Bettman's coming in today?
No, about 10 years ago, I gave up coffee. I had a medical thing that was undiagnosed, and they thought it was food related. So I changed I tried to change just about everything to see if this would cure it. So I stopped eating red meat. I ate chicken 7 nights a week.
Lots of it.
Holy cow. Now, interestingly, I still eat a lot of chicken, but I ate nothing but chicken. No potatoes. And I got rid of the coffee. And I couldn't just go cold turkey on the coffee. Because when you're in this business, you drink a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you do. You drink a lot of coffee. And so I said, I'm going to switch to tea. There's less caffeine in it. It's not healthy, but it's better. And so I've been a tea drinker since then.
Now, given the success of your wine endeavor, is tea the next commercial undertaking?
I don't know anything about the tea business. Of course, I didn't know anything about the winery business until I got bought a winery.
Now you have rock stars pimping them.
Now I have rock stars pimping them. I have, you know, I got two wineries. We might have a third soon. We're expanding. Global domination. That's what it's about. Don't stop till you're number one.
It's Bob's world, and you're not welcome in it.
Well, it's only room for me. That's all there is. What would you like to talk about? Anything else that interests you at all?
I thought we were...
Healy's going to join us in a minute here. You got about 60 seconds. Maybe a little bit more because my tea is coming.
Producing. No, I thought you said before I was getting you going. Isn't that the...
Well, no, but then you shut me down. No, I don't think there's any... This is a big deal. I understand that people are going to gravitate to it for a variety of reasons. Number one... the Maple Leafs are a dull and uninteresting team who can't beat anybody.
Don't mince your words.
And not to mention bad. Well, there's no storyline there. Like, we've done these stories.
Yeah.
We've been doing these stories for 50 years.
But have you ever seen it
this
be
bad?
Be a circus like this post Ballard.
I don't think it's a circus. I think it's incredibly bad. But is this worse than the collapses of the last couple of years?
I just mean, I'm not saying on the ice. I'm saying all the stuff revolving around it.
Well, such as, you know, I mean, what do you think is...
The first day of training camp, the first question to Phil Kessel is, do you hate your coach? And that kind of paved everything for the rest of the year.
Well, that crummy coach won a lot more games than the coach they got now.
It must be Randy's fault, right?
Must be Randy's fault. It can't be the player's fault. I was always against firing Randy Carlyle. Not that I liked Randy Carlyle. Randy Carlyle only came on the show, I think, twice or three times during his reign. He was not a regular guy. I didn't know him well. There's a bunch of Leaf coaches I got to know well and I really like. Not the least of which is Paul Maurice, who, I mean, Bernsey and I were pals and I love Bernsey. That's okay. You can come on camera. You're dressed beautifully today because of Gary Bettman.
I know. I said that.
Yeah.
When I saw he was wearing a tie.
Yeah. He doesn't have the skull cap on today. Washed his hair. Where was I? So, I don't know where I was. It doesn't matter. I was nowhere important. It's just, they're bad. I'd have kept Carlisle. It probably wouldn't have made that much difference. The teardown is the only thing to do. I like Dave Nonis as a person. I have no idea whether he knows what he's doing as a general manager. I mean, he's cleaning up his own mess, really, is what he's doing to a great extent.
Some of them were Berkeys, too.
Yeah, some is Burke. And this new president, I mean, I don't even know who the hell he is. Hasn't come on the show yet. How long has he been the president? Almost a year?
Last April, I believe, yeah.
So almost a year? I mean, if you're going to go somewhere, don't you come here? Isn't this one of the places you'd go? I would. Gary comes here now. And Gary and I didn't talk for 6 years. We had a massive feud. Oh, this is the first. So Brunt's going to be in here. So this is the first time, because the original feud happened when Gary was on with Brunt and I. And I blame Brunt for it mostly.
Because? What were the roots?
Well, he was just poking. He was poking at Gary. Gary was mad at me at the beginning because I went downstairs and I didn't keep him company in the studio while the show was on. But you know, I come in, I sit down, I do the show. I don't like to hang out with the people, with the guests.
The lumpen
proletariat. I want it to be fresh.
Yeah.
You know, I want it to be fresh. Well, that kind of, I don't know, Gary was in a mood or something that day and that kind of bugged him. And I didn't even know it. But I found out later that it bothered him. And then Brunt was poking him with questions and things. And I was just sitting here minding my own damn business. You know me. I'm easy to get along with.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you get the Lady Bing of radio every year.
Exactly. So then Gary gets mad at me. And we don't talk for like 6 years. And then the only reason we talked was because Roger spent $5.2 billion to buy the television rights, and we both went to the same news conference, and we ran into each other in the hall outside. So you can't just go, I'm not talking to you, and just turn away.
No, you went up to him and said, you cost me my raise.
So you're taking money out of my daughter's mouth, you know.
Right.
And so I shook his hand, we blah, 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 and, you know. And then so he's been on since. Now, what are you trying? Are you trying to tell me something? Oh. Well, you went for tea. I didn't know if you were even coming back. You have to put your headset on because otherwise you won't hear Healy. And you want to hear Healy.
Talked to him yesterday.
Really?
Yep.
Here's Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada, NHL on Sportsnet. Fill in the blank.
Gary's been mad at me on a number of occasions.
Does he talk to you, though?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you put that stuff behind us. When you work for the Players Association, you tend not to agree on anything.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Adversarial relationship, to say the least, but one that we saw today is very respectful. Respectful enough that we've got a World Cup of Hockey coming.
Oh, I'm sure you are an integral part of that.
I don't know. We'll see. That's a long ways away. Just trying to survive the weekend. It's been a rough winter, you know.
I can't decide whether I'm going to get on Gary for these two crummy teams that they put in this thing. I love the World Cup. I love the concept of it. You know, when you think about the best hockey you've seen in your life as a Canadian, you think of 72, 76, and then, you know, the Canada Cup / World Cups. Like that's sort of at the top of the food chain. And to bring back the World Cup and have it a regular thing is a fantastic idea. They should have done it a long time ago. I know there were circumstances because of the bastard players and their demands.
Well, I think they burned through 14 executive directors at the PA as well. That might add something to it.
That was during the Healy years, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That was when I was there.
Yeah, you were the root cause for sure. So I love the concept. And then they have to go and mess it up by putting in, you know, the team of others. And I hope they put others on the uniforms. And
extras.
Extras and pukes. You know, the under 23s. You know, the guys that aren't really good enough, haven't earned their stripes to be on the big team, they get to play on the Z team. Like, really? This, you know, does everything have to be a promotion for the National Hockey League? Can't you just make a crap load of money and do a real World Cup?
Do you want to see Connor McDavid play in it?
I don't care. I'll see him soon enough.
You can wait.
I can wait.
I'm surviving the winter. I don't have to worry.
I'm good with it. You know, he's 18 years old, the little punk.
Well, and I think, but that's the root of the idea, is that if you looked at the guys that are under 23, you would have an Eichel, you would have a Connor McDavid, you would have a Morgan Riley. You'd have a number of players that would not be playing for Team Canada or Team USA.
Good. If they're not good enough to play for them, don't play.
As opposed to what, Slovenia?
That's what's called a World Cup.
The extra team, where they have extras on.
Yeah, the extras.
Yeah. You know, when I did the Olympics in Sochi a year ago, and you know, I'm watching Slovenia play. And it was a wonderful story. They won their first game in the Olympics ever, but that country has 8 ice rinks. We have 8 ice rinks at Whitby Iroquois Park. And, you know, I'm watching Kopitar, and he's taking the team on his shoulders. But he's playing with guys like David Rasinger. He's playing with guys that are 34 years old and don't stand a chance of even playing in the minor leagues for the NHL.
I understand.
So it gives a chance for the Kopitars to get to play with the Vaniks to get
I
to
don't
play
care.
With the
I don't care. How much is he making?
Well, this one isn't about money. This is about pride.
How much is he making?
Lots.
Yeah. I don't care whether he has to sit out or not, because he comes from a country where he's the only good hockey player. Too bad for you.
And I'm sure that conversation happened just like that between the PA and the league.
I guarantee it never happened.
No, it didn't.
Here's the conversation that happened. How can we get as many NHL guys in here as possible?
Totally, yeah.
That's the conversation.
Best players to play in the world. I know Gary said today be 150 players. I think it's more likely more. I think you're going to close in on 170.
Look, you're starting from scratch, essentially. You're not really doing anything based upon an historical reference point. What you want to do is you want to do this every 4 years, and you know, this is the first year of it. So you only think there are 6 competitive teams, and there may not even be 6, then have 6. Structure your tournament around 6. You can figure out a way to get enough TV games on there so you can make your millions and millions of dollars off of TV. And you can sell all the tickets and blah, 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 blah. You don't have to goof it up. I mean, this is the dumbest thing since the Metropolitan Division.
No, I'll give you something dumber.
Okay.
And this will set you right off. I can envision this tournament, when they put together an international calendar, having even more teams in the tournament, and almost doing it like the World Cup of soccer, where you have teams in Europe that are playing to get a chance to get into the party.
No, wait.
That's exactly what they plan to do in 2019.
Well, then do it now, for God's sakes. You know, if you want to have, if you have to have 8 teams, here's the answer. You want an answer? Here's the answer. You don't have time to have to play in games. Okay, I'm with that. If they call me, I could solve their problems. So I'd say, watch the World Championship. Your Canada, U.S., Finland, Sweden, Russia. Who else am I missing? Slovakia? No. Czech Republic?
Yes. Yeah.
Czech Republic. They're the 6.
Yeah.
So they're in. The next 2 highest placed teams in the World Championship get in. If you have to have 8. A better idea is only go with 6. and then do play-ins. Jeez, the under-23s, really?
He actually said he was calm when he came in here.
It's good that he's having this conversation. The one thing, though, that really stands out to me is that, you know, I went to Europe for training camp in 1994 with the Rangers.
It was a good year.
London, England, and we had the Mustard Cup. Do you remember the
camp? I do.
We played the Leafs, and it was probably the best training camp I've ever had. We played the three games in about 4 days. We didn't bring any extra players. We just had our team.
Right.
And we won the cup. And ironically, they forgot the trophy in the hotel, and they had to go to the Wembley flea market and buy a 10-pound bronze, kind of look like the Open Challenge for golf. And they presented it to Mark Messi. He just left it in the locker room. We looked at the trophy as if to think,
really?
This, really? Anyway, that was 94, and that was a great camp. But from that point on, there's really been no international blueprint to grow this thing internationally. And Fear said it today. This is one of the unique leagues where we actually have 30% of our members that are from across the pond. And yet we've had no strategy to leapfrog from all the Olympics that we've had to create a market in Europe. We're tapped out here. We're pretty much full in most of the buildings. There's not a whole lot of space for us to go, I think, in North America. But in Europe, we haven't even touched it. And that's where the other leagues have looked at it. And they've put offices in Europe. They put offices in China. And they've tried to tap that market. Because the next two Olympics, if that's where we're going to go, they aren't exactly the most exotic and sexy of places for us to play in Olympics. This is not like Vancouver. This isn't even Sochi. So those decisions will be tough to make. But they need to have an international blueprint moving forward to grow this thing across the pond, because they haven't even started. And it goes back to 94 when I went, and it's almost like from that moment on, they just threw darts on a board and figured out, yeah, let's go to Prague and have a game, and Stockholm and Helsinki, and, you know, give Harry Hakamo a game every year. Well, they need a better blueprint.
Well, look, if you talk about the great sporting events in the world on an occasional basis, I mean, you're talking about the Olympics and the World Cup of Soccer. That's 1 and 1A right there. I don't even know which one technically might be bigger. You could maybe make an argument. There's more interest, really, in the World Cup because it's sustainable, because you have to qualifying, and you got to do this and that and da-da-da-da-da. And you really pay more attention, and you're really more of a fan of the World Cup than you are the Olympics, which is one of those things you just kind of watch. So why not? There's the blueprint for how to do it. Get as many countries in the world involved. Let them play in some kind of a competition where they qualify to get in. And away you go. I mean, we know who the four or five best countries in any given World Cup are. We know who's most likely to win the championship. And it doesn't matter. If you're one of those 32, is it 32 that get in?
Yeah.
If you're one of those 32 that get in, God, it's like winning the lottery.
Well, you look at the Vancouver Olympics, for instance. Which country in Europe watched the most Olympic hockey? You would be shocked to know.
Okay.
It was Italy.
Wow.
You would think, it's got to be one of the Nordic countries. It's got to be someone that actually has hockey in its fiber. It was Italy.
Isn't that interesting?
We don't even sell a T-shirt in Italy, do we?
Not that I know of.
Okay, so now it's time to start doing that, because they liked it in 2010. And we haven't tapped that market, but they're never going to have a team in any of these championships, not that I know of. I can't think of a boatload of Italian guys that are really, really good hockey players. But that's an example of, you know, a market that we've not touched. And when we expand this, there's a good chance that we will get an opportunity to touch it. And I think John Collins is right on that same page.
Yep.
He understands that there's got to be that vision. Mm-hmm. And probably for the first time since Gary took over as commissioner, they have a vision as to what they want moving forward.
And by the way, Heels, you would have thought that that market could have been manipulated coming out of the 2006 Olympics, which were in Italy.
Totally. So it's a chance, I guess, to grow it worldwide. We haven't done it yet. They haven't done it since I went over to Wembley in 94, but I think they're finally starting to look at this and say, yeah, this is something that we could definitely do. Hey, when we had the last World Cup in 2004, the NHLPA and the league didn't even open up for bidding for television rights. They just gave it to the CBC.
Wow.
Like, would you not want to go to TSN and say, hey, got any extra llamas running around and maybe some dollars to pay for this event? Just gave it to CBC. And so they've changed their philosophy now, haven't they? You know,
they got a whack of dough. A
couple bidders in the States with Fox and ESPN, and obviously, you know, NBC didn't want in on the party. Well, it's fine. We got other suitors. And so it's going to be a lot bigger and bolder.
One interesting thing about NBC that should be brought up, and Gary mentioned it earlier today about there being a potential conflict, is that the final week of that tournament, including the final game, coincides with the Ryder Cup, which is being held in the U.S., and that's kind of one of the jewels of NBC. So I can understand in a way, and I'm not, let's face it, the bottom line is the almighty dollar, but that could have played a part in it.
For sure. You've got to have programming. You've got to have a space to put the games on. You've got to have interest. And, you know, that's probably one of the reasons they pick – I know it's the reason they pick September. That's where most companies have inventory, have money to spend. If you put it in February, like, you know, some people have kind of whispered where you could – the Olympics are in February, the World Cup's in February. Like, keep that consistency. You've spent a lot of your ad dollars by the time you get to February. So September makes the most sense. But – you know, the other side of it, when I was at the Players Association, I know we met with ESPN a number of times, and they were anxious to get back into the party. They were basically kind of locked out and really like hockey. Thought it would be a good thing for them to have on their network. And that marriage, we know where that went. It's kind of split up, but now it's back again. And that's good because ESPN, you know, they covered the game well, and they're you know, across the country, there's not many places that don't pick up that channel.
No. I mean, the issue became their inventory and their willingness to pay. And,
and we know what happened then. It went to Versus, and we were watching bass fishing and deer getting shot. And another
bull riding.
Live to Pittsburgh, where we're going to see Crosby. Turn away from the TV. The moose is about to get it.
God. Are you telling me you never shot a moose?
No.
Okay.
I've never held a gun. So... no interest in any of that. In fact, my very first year in college, I showed up at Western Michigan. I had a roommate from the UP up in Minnesota, the Iron Range. And he was sitting in the room, and he had some sort of a device in his hand. I didn't know what it was, but it was a duck caller. And he was practicing his duck calls. And here I am, a bagpiper, and I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, wow, we got a band. Musical instrument. What kind of instrument is that? I had no idea what it was.
That would have been beautiful music at 3 in the morning after the pub shut down.
Yeah. We'd have a whole bunch of ducks listening to me play the bagpipes.
UP means Upper Peninsula, right?
Yeah, the Iron Range.
Okay, so thank you.
Hibbing, Minnesota, which is...
No, it's okay. It's all right. You don't have to explain anymore.
Okay.
But you said UP, and I know what that is. But I think a lot of the audience doesn't.
Okay.
So I just wanted to clarify because they're all going, what the hell's he talking about?
We went to his wedding after we graduated from university.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was the only one with a tie on and one of the very few people that wasn't wearing moccasins. Didn't realize that was the dress code for weddings.
And it was February.
Yeah. Snowing.
Healy, goodbye.
Okay. Have a good one, boys.
See you soon.
Thanks, Clint.
Clint Healy of the NHL and Sportsnet. one of our friends is going to join us in a bit. We haven't talked to him for a while. He's been a little under the weather. Dave Perkins.
Outstanding to see that he's
coming back.
Well enough again, yeah.
Yep. We're going to talk to him when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Bob McCown and Mike Zeisberger. Later, Buck Martinez from Sportsnet, Jerry Sullivan of the Buffalo News. Bill's got a running back, huh?
Got a quarterback today, too.
Who'd they get today?
Matt Cassel.
No, they didn't. Don Fear will join us, the executive director of the NHLPA, and the commissioner, Gary Bettman, will join us in studio. Maybe for an hour. We're going to play it by ear. We'll see how long Gary will put up with us, but maybe for an hour.
Put up with Brent?
We got things to talk about. We'll talk about this World Cup thing. We'll talk about Vegas. We'll talk about the game in general and life as the commissioner. And
you involved in that Vegas group?
No. I don't think it'll work. I'm negative on it. Having lived there, I think there's way too many issues. I love Vegas. I'd like to see him get a professional team. I think a basketball team would be the best. Probably a baseball team would be second best. I think hockey would be down the list. It's just not a hockey town. You know, my sense never was that there was real hockey interest. You go into any of the sports books where people will go on weekends. It's kind of like your sports bar, giant sports bars.
Yep.
You've been there. You
yep.
know what it's like. Saturday, Sunday, the places are all packed. And it's guys, you know, guys are betting, but guys are watching games. Can't remember the last time I walked into a sports book and a hockey game was on the center TV, the biggest TV. Can't remember. So, and it looks like the ticket sales are a little slow. Haven't seen anything in about a week, but the last time we saw, they were around 7,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if the goal is 10,000, and that's a pretty light goal, they're not even there yet. I would have thought they'd do that on day one. In any event,
I wasn't really sure how it was going to go.
Well, I wasn't either.
You knew there would be the initial push, but I'd like to see it in a couple weeks and see how it goes.
We're going to find out.
Yep.
Soon enough. We want to welcome back a longtime friend who has been under the weather for some considerable period of time. He's no stranger to you or to us. The longtime sports writer Dave Perkins is, well, how are you?
A lot of weather to be under, let me tell you.
Boy, I'll tell you.
What a miserable bloody winter this has been.
Well,
I've got to see it all up close. You know, I'm kind of marooned here, so... I
know it doesn't fit with your plans because I know what your plans were.
Yeah, I was supposed to be in Arizona. For
I know,
the winter, but that fell apart. You know, still on the right side of the turf, as they say.
Are you feeling better?
Feeling a little better, yeah. You know, one step forward, two steps back. Some days, but
I understand.
But things are, things are a lot better than they were 4 months ago today. Let's put it that way.
Is that what it was? Huh?
Yeah, it was November the 4th when I.
Wow.
Zeiss, I went down right in that seat that you're sitting in now.
Yeah,
thanks for keeping it warm or cold for me, as the case may be.
Minutes before the show.
Yeah. It's so great, though, Perk, to hear your voice. And, you know, we can joke about it. But,
it's great to be heard, let me tell you. But
if he was going to go down, he was going to go down sarcastically, Bob.
Well, he kept trying to get back up, too, like a punch-drunk fighter, you know. He kept trying to, I'm okay, and then he wasn't.
Yeah.
And then we finally said,
I think I saw that a couple of times during my baseball days, didn't I, Perk? No comment.
Maybe, yeah. the one thing I always think about, Zeiss, is the day you played goal in
Gorda,
at the Blue Jays spring training. That was the ball hockey game of the end all ball hockey games. That one was.
Gordash.
That was only 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Gordash, GM at the time, imagine this, had not liked a couple things that I had written and Rich Griffin had written.
Charged
so
them.
He wasn't going to play in this game until he found out that Rich and I were playing on the
so
media side.
So this is
side.
In Dunedin?
In the parking lot of the stadium.
Okay.
And they you know, the equipment guys had road hockey nets, yada, yada, yada. When Ash found out that Rich and I were playing, he went out, he bought brand new hockey gloves, which at the time weren't easy to find in Southern Florida, okay?
Yeah.
Gets these gloves, comes in. First, he body checks Rich so hard into the chain link fence that for a week you could see the cross pattern on Rich's legs. And then somebody took a shot on me, and I made the save, and then my world got eclipsed because I saw Ash coming at me. And the next thing you know, he was sitting on me. And the one thing I thought is, you know what? This is going to hurt, but there is no way I'm going to let him score.
I remember him. I know your glasses broke.
Oh, yeah, they went flying, and the sunglasses, yeah.
I hate to belabor, but that was the game poor Sunil Joshi was running down the left wing, and we heard this pop.
Oh.
And it was his knee ligament tearing. And
yikes.
And Sunil had to get carted off and to hospital. It was just a miserable.
and Tommy Craig.
All involved. That was the worst.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was afterwards, I can tell you. Yes. But the funny thing was that Tommy Craig, the trainer at the time, he goes, "Zeiss, do you need some help?" And I think Perk said, "I don't think you want to do that."
Yeah. Yeah, well.
This was not the first annual road hockey game.
It was two games. It was the first and the last.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So you're back scribbling, too.
Well, you know, that was more out of boredom than anything. I was always the world's biggest Minnie Minoso fan. He was just my favorite ball player from the time I was like 7 years old. You know, I used to see him in Chicago. I somehow got his home phone number years ago. I used to call him just to shoot the breeze. You know?
Really?
Tell story. He'd tell me stories, and I'd ask him about the Negro Leagues and everything, because I was a big Negro League fan and everything. And, you know, Minnie passed this Sunday, and I was just sitting there saying, geez, I want to write something on this. So the Star was kind enough to let me do it, but it was just a one-shot deal. But what a wonderful ball player this guy was. You know, he was caught because when he first came up, you know, there weren't that many black players in the major leagues. And,
right.
And he went to the Negro Leagues, and he was a star there, you know, out of Cuba. He was a star there. No one knew quite how old he was. I don't think they even know now what to put on the death certificate.
He's a Johnny Bauer of baseball?
Well, I mean, there was always, Minnie had a baseball age, and he had a real age.
Yeah.
And a lot of those guys did from that era, and those things weren't always the same. But, you know, whatever it was, he was a wonderful guy, and he you know, got to the big leagues too late to make a full impact. He should be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, but, you know, he was just a terrific, terrific ball player. And I always said there was two obits I wanted to write. Well, I don't mean want to write, but two obits, if they have to be written, I hope to contribute. One was Minoso. And I hate to say it, the other was Willie Mays. God forbid it ever happens. But you know, there was another guy I saw when I was a kid and worshipped and got to meet him later in life and talk to him and it's I have a privilege that way.
I'm interested in Minoso. I mean, I remember because you and I are of similar ages,
yeah,
but you're
a
year or two younger, I think.
Yeah.
And I know Minoso came up in 50s?
51.
Okay. So his career would have been in its twilight at best when you were old enough to really recognize it. I'm wondering, did you have a Minnie Minoso baseball card? That start it?
Yeah, I had. I think it was the name. I think I first saw him in 58 or 60. And I'm sure it was the name.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Minnie, you're thinking of Mickey Mouse. Well, I don't think they nicknamed too many guys Mickey in those days for obvious reasons. But Minnie was, I guess it was just the name that appealed to a kid. But, boy, as I got a little bit older, and, you know, it was kind of the end of his career then. But this guy hung in. He played until he was 50 in the Mexican leagues. Yeah. And then you remember in 76 he come back. He was 53 or 4, and he pinch hit and got a hit for the White Sox.
Yeah, it was supposed to be one of Bill Veeck's publicity things, and the guy goes out and gets a hit.
Yeah,
sure, it was one of Bill Veeck's last stunts. And then, you know, after Veeck passed, his son Mike ran some minor league teams, and Mike Veeck hired Minnie, and the last time was in 2003. So he had to be at least 80 then, you know, and they just lobbed four pitches over his head, I think, and let him trot down the first, so he could say he'd played professionally in 7 decades. But, you know, I mean, I guess it's kind of a stunt, but you know, this guy owes nobody nothing, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he had the majority of his career. It got lost in the, you know, because of, you know, baseball's archaic, you know, the way they did things. So
yeah,
he owes nobody nothing, as far as I'm concerned.
From your story, 7-time All-Star, 3 times the league leader in triples and steals.
Yeah.
Only Willie Mays stole more bases in the 1950s. Career on-base average .389 for his career.
Yeah.
10 times he led the league hit by pitches.
Yeah.
And a pretty sound defensive player, if my recollection remembers.
Tremendous outfielder. I mean, you know, it's funny. Nowadays, somebody who spends all day looking at a computer tells me, oh, this guy's a good outfielder. This guy's a good outfielder. They don't watch the games, apparently.
But, right.
You know, I had people trying to tell me Kobe Rasmus was good, you know, for a couple of years. But I'm telling you, Manoso threw the ball. He threw the ball to the right base. He did this rare thing called hitting a cutoff man, you know, things like that, things you just never see today. I mean, I turned on the Blue Jays yesterday to watch 2 innings, and I almost had a relapse when I watched Ryan Goins trying to bunt. You know?
Well, he tuned in the wrong 2 innings.
God almighty. How can a guy be a little Judy hitter, you know, and a good glove man and all this, but, you know, you come back after 4 months off and you're trying to bunt, you look like a dog screwing a football. Like, come on. I mean, you got to do something. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't have an answer. You and I have had this conversation many times. You can't explain to me why hitters today have so much trouble bunting. It is the simplest, easiest thing to do,
right?
If you understand the basic fundamentals.
Catch the ball with the bat.
And you do it a few times.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. Well, why these guys can't do it is, I'm astounded.
Well, because you got to work at it. You know, a guy like Manoso could hit home runs, hit doubles, hit triples. He could bunt. You know what I mean? Like, guys could play the game better back then. They're not as talented. They're not as physically fit. They're not as good today as the players in terms of the physical arsenal. But, boy, they could play the game better.
Well, I can't argue that. I mean, the basic fundamentals were better.
Yeah, the game was played in a better way, that's all.
Listen, we're glad you're feeling a little bit better.
Big time.
You know, this cold weather shall end. I think tomorrow is the last day of the bitter cold, and then we're going to see more March-like temperatures, and very soon it'll be summertime. And
let's hope.
We'll either be at the ballpark, or we'll be on the golf course, or you'll be back in here.
Well, yeah, your seat for you, Perk.
I'll be back in there at some point, I hope. You know,
well, yeah, we're keeping a seat warm for you.
He's going to sit in the opposite seat this time.
He may.
Yeah, I'll sit on the other side now.
It's great to hear your voice, pal.
Yeah, Perk, well, all the best.
Feel better.
Be heard. Thanks, boys.
Dave Perkins.
Is he to blame for the Leafs?
Still the Toronto Star. Oh, God, no. I wouldn't blame Perk for anything.
It's great to hear. It's great to hear that he's doing better.
Yeah, it was pretty serious. We were all here, and, you know, I was on the air. I had to do the show, and he was supposed to co-host, and he became sick, like, literally minutes before 5. It was almost exactly this time. And when I came back into the studio for 5 o'clock, he wasn't here, and they said he wasn't feeling well. And we thought, okay, he's got the flu. He's got ate something, did something, and it just didn't get better. And I can recall, like it was yesterday, we had to call an ambulance for him, take him off to the hospital.
Well, a lot better day today, 4 months later.
It's great to hear his voice.
And by the way, just a quick note there, and I've done this before, but that was 3 guys, alumni from Winston Churchill, talking there.
Well,
I know, you don't like to bring up those days.
Nothing good happened in high school that I can recall. That's Mike Zeisberger of the Toronto Sun.
Be nice to Gary.
I'm always nice to Gary. The question is he going to be nice to me? And more importantly, will Brunt be nice to Gary? Because you know,
I don't know. He's behind the glass. He looks pretty mean right now.
He's producing. That's what he does. The commissioner of the National Hockey League in studio, Gary Bettman, in the next hour. Hour number 3, Don Fear, the executive director of the NHLPA, Buck Martinez, and Jerry Sullivan of the Buffalo News. Some football talk. It's all ahead when primetime continues here on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.